One of the things I praise God for just about every day is our little dog. The little dog gives me so much joy. And one of the things that Cassie does, she's a little Yorkie. She's about this long and this high. And when she lays on the back of the sofa, looks out the front window. She's our guard dog, you know, how they are. They're protecting us. And she starts barking, and she's really excited. She wants to go outside into the fenced backyard and bark there so the person gets the full impact of her barking. I call her a Yorkshire, not terrier, but terrorist. And one of the funny things she does, and I just don't even know how she does it, while she's running, she knows I can't get to the door fast enough to open it for her to go out in the backyard. So she starts going around in circles, little circles, and then she'll go a little bit further, and then she'll do another little circle. And I'm getting dizzy, so I won't do that anymore. I don't know if you're familiar with the Three Stooges, but like sometimes they get all excited and they go, hoop, 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 you know, and it's sort of like that. She's just so excited, and I just wish I had that energy and that excitement, enthusiasm, you know, to go outside and bark. She's wonderful, and she thank the good Lord for one of Tony's and my joys. Many, many joys. Our scripture reading today is from Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, you don't need words to speak to your people. You can do it so many different ways. But throughout the many generations, centuries of the church, we've heard you through your scriptures. And you have changed our lives. And we ask that you could continue that even this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, for the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Have you ever noticed that the psalmist kind of gets carried away? Starts praising God, says praise God with a loud trumpet, praise him with crashing cymbals, praise him with loud crashing cymbals, big cymbals, praise him with lute and harp, praise him with dance and timbrel. We don't see that happening too often in worship, but the psalmist just gets carried away. In Luke's gospel especially, we see that after something happens, the apostles get carried away, and they start praising God. They praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done here. This is a miracle. The crippled man, the blind man, they all respond to Jesus and are healed, and then they're dancing. The one who couldn't even walk is dancing all of a sudden and going into the temple praising the Lord. And everybody's looking at him like, you're praising God? Have you ever noticed that in the book of Revelation, a curious thing occurs? And this I direct to the elders among us. The elders in heaven fall on their faces and praise the Lamb. Now, I ask you, if our elders all fell on their faces at once and started praising God, what would we do? I hope we join them. You know? They're so excited and they're so intensely involved in worship that they forget themselves. Just for a moment, but that's all it takes. This happens over and over again. The elders fall down on their faces before the Lamb, praising God. Well, after the storm, I had to go outside like many of you and start picking up sticks and Spanish moss and gathering it together and putting it in bags or something to get it out on the street so it would not be cluttering up all the yard. I also was changing a bedroom into what we hoped to be an exercise room. That meant taking apart a bed. I'm not very mechanical, so I was glad it was simple. But it took a lot of work doing that, getting that together. As I did, an idea bumped into me. Doxology. And I thought, why doxology? So I just went about my day and just tried to forget doxology. But doxology kept knocking on the back of my head like somebody at the back door. Like a phone call that keeps ringing on your cell phone. And you can't get to it, and it goes to voicemail. And then maybe it does it again later. Throughout the day, that idea kept coming back. Doxology. Well, after a while, I decided I'd get to know them. Doxa means praise or glory. Ology is the knowledge of, the learning how to do. Doxology then is the knowledge of glory or knowing whom to praise, how to praise. At the end of the day, I decided, well, okay, I'll bring doxology home, introduce them to Tony and to our dog. Well, I didn't know how this would go, but it went rather well. We had our table blessing, and we had our meal, and doxology just seemed to fit right into the family. And it just relieved us so much, and we were just so happy and joyful. Later on, we took a walk, and the clouds were beautiful that evening. Out in the west, we could see orange and pink. And deep blues, and we were glad doxology was with us. He fit right in. This was a happy time. But then later, I needed to go see a sick friend, and doxology wanted to come. So I said, okay, you can ride in the car with me, but that's as far as I want you to go. When we got to the hospital to see my friend, doxology insisted that he come with me to see this person. I said no. He doesn't even know you, doxology. Finally, I had to lock doxology in my trunk and escape him and go see my friend. Well, my friend's very ill and close to dying. And I was sad. I was sad. And when I got to see him, he said, you know, Mark, I'm not worried about a thing. Said, you know, I've lived such a good, happy life. God's been so good to me. If I die today, I'm at peace. And it was my friend who said a prayer. It wasn't me that did the prayer. He did it. So I walked back down to the car, I opened the trunk, let doxology out, somewhat apologetic. We drove back home and I said, you know, doxology, you're right. You should have come with me. This was a heavy burden not to have some praise with me. Next time I go, doxology, I want you to come with me. In fact, every time I go to the hospital, every time, I want you to come with me. Doxology nodded and smiled. He knew I was beginning to understand something. We just cut the watermelons at the Sunday school picnic, and I was laughing at the kids' antics, pretending to play harmonicas as they munched on sweet pink slices, using the rind to make big green grins and seeing who could spit the seeds the furthest. And Mary Menachie, who wrote this, says that I felt a woman's hand on my shoulder And Mary said, I knew before that hand went on my shoulder and before I looked in her eyes what she was going to say. Mary, how can you be so happy? How can you be happy? You see, Mary had lost two daughters and a son to a rare blood disease. It had taken all three of them by the time they were 20. That's just the way this disease ran. You couldn't do anything. But Mary said each child lived in such a joyful way and were so involved in their lives and in other people's lives and appreciated their lives so much that it just did not seem right for them to, for her to just be sad all the time. She said she could remember their smiles. She said it brought them, you know, her joy. It brought her closer to God, this whole experience. Yes, she remembered how they died. She grieved that loss. It was hurtful. But Mary could not forget. Mary Lou's and Rosemary's and George's doxology. She was sad, but she could also be happy. Do you feel like that sometime? Like the joy's been drained out of you? Like you're just getting by day to day? That things are just repetitive? The same old dirty dishes, the same old yard to mow, the same thing over and over? Have you forgotten doxology? C.S. Lewis wrote about his conversion when he finally gave his life to Jesus Christ, and he said he was surprised by joy. I guess he was expecting something really terrible to happen when he surrendered to the Lord and said, I'm yours, take my life. But instead he found a peace and a joy he'd never known. How we all need to experience joy in our faith. The lightness of faith, not the heaviness of life. Perhaps that's one reason why Jesus said to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must come as a child. You can't come as a worried, worn out adult. You have to be more like these three kids, just rolling on the ground and feeling something of the goodness of your own life. At the end of a sunny day, the stars began to twinkle outside, and a mother summoned her husband to the back door, and they stood there on the porch, and she pointed to their 5-year-old son who was out there by the gate. He was looking up into the sky, and the mother says, he's talking to God. And by golly, he was. Doxology is simple enough for a child, but important enough for an adult. It's essential. For it can bring a joy to our faith that nothing else can do. On Easter morning, we would have children in our little country church bring flowers in. They were cut flowers, flowers they picked from their yards, flowers that they had found in other people's yards, maybe. But they brought them in at the beginning of the service and laid them around a cross. There wasn't any music. There wasn't any sound. Just children bringing flowers to the Lord of all creation, the Lord who's redeemed us and saved us. And you know, that's what praise is about. Yeah, it's temporary, like cut flowers. It's not going to last forever. But in that moment, just to say, thank you, Lord, I praise you for this. What a wonderful God you are. See, often we bring to God our worries, we bring to God our needs, we bring to God our hurts. And sometimes we just need to bring him flowers. Sometimes we just need to bring them our hearts in praise. Maybe sing a song. You hear a good Christian song on the radio, join in. Hum along if you're like me. Then it came time to write a sermon. I had to have no distractions in the room, had to have the books lined up, had to have my desk cleared off, had to have the right pencil, the right pad, had to try to get my mind around what I was doing. I was concerned about the responsibility. And there was a knock on the door. You're right, it was doxology. Doxology, I've got to work. You can't come in. You'll bother me. I can't do this with other people. I have to do it by myself, just with the Lord. You understand, don't you? Doxology still didn't get it. Come right in. And then I realized I had been reading and working on Romans 9, 10, and 11. Three chapters where Paul wrestles with the deepest theological question in his heart. He says, I would gladly just die and go to hell if all the Jews would see Jesus for who he is, the Messiah. I would gladly do anything, but I can't. I'm doing all I can. And he struggles with how this is happening, that the Jewish people who have been following the holy God all through generations suddenly reject Jesus. And these Gentiles who have been playing around with false gods and doing whatever they want without any laws at all, they love Jesus. He says, Lord, how is this working? What's on your mind? And he writes it out as clearly as he can in only three chapters. The most serious letter Paul ever wrote, probably, trying to tell the people in Rome, this church that has been there for a long time, standing strong against persecution and everything else. And Paul's writing them this letter. He doesn't know them. They don't know him, but he's writing this letter. And in the very middle of the letter, as often he does in letters, oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, how inscrutable are his ways. Right in the middle, he stops and praises God, as if he can't think of anything else to do. He just drops it and gives God glory. Why does he do this? I can't explain it exactly, but it's like our cooking needs spices, our worship needs praise. A serious commitment is always important, but a joyful commitment is the only commitment that will last. I remember in the stress and strain of 3 years in seminary as an adult man who was ready to earn a living and support a family and all those kind of things. Dennis, you remember? Every once in a while, during that 3 years, one of my friends, a fellow student, would just simply disappear. They'd drop out of school. It wasn't that they weren't good students. They were better students than I was, and I made it. It wasn't that they weren't good Christians. They were practicing Christians. Now, there was something else that happened inside them spiritually. It was something we didn't notice. It was something maybe they couldn't name. But they'd lost doxology. There was no longer any joy. Every once in a while in the church, you see it, somebody loses their doxology and they begin to go downward and they maybe get upset with people and they start blaming others for the way they feel, but it's not really anyone's fault. They simply have forgotten doxology. Reverend Frederick Craddock, who gave me the idea for this sermon, had an experience. He writes about it. And Fred says this: "It was from the class on Romans that I was called to the phone. My oldest brother had just died. Heart attack. When stunned and hurt, get real busy. Avoid thought. Call the wife. Get the kids out of school. Arrange for colleagues to teach my class. Cancel a speaking engagement. Oh, yes. Stop the milk, the paper, the mail." Stop the milk. That tells you it was a long time ago. "Have someone to feed the dog. Who can take my Sunday school class? Service the car. I think I packed everything," said my wife. And we threw the baggage and ourselves into the car. And we drove. Across two states we drove. All night long we drove. With our eyes plastered against the windshield. Our conversation was spasmodic. We just seemed to ask the same questions. And no one even pretended to know the answers. Finally, after all this drive, we came to the town where my brother used to live. And I started to think, well, I'm the preacher in the family, so I need to say something to his wife. I was his brother, but she was his wife. And as I drove up to the driveway, I could see her coming out, and I still didn't have anything I could say to her. And I came in, and I opened the door, and she broke the silence. "Fred, did you bring doxology?" "No. No, I had forgotten all about doxology ever since I got the phone call. But now it's clear." Without doxology, we might as well be dead. Because from him and to him and through him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen.